Our scripture this morning is from Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 through 21. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him?" So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Now, therefore, please forgive the crime of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept, fell down before him, and said, "We are here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people, as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
There is a Taoist fable about an old farmer who had worked his crops for many years, and one morning he wakes up and he realizes that his horse had run away. And his neighbors, when they hear this, they come over to visit, as neighbors are prone to doing in those situations, and they said, "Oh, that is really bad luck." And the farmer said, "Maybe." The next day, the horse returned and brought with it three other horses. The neighbors came over and said, "That is wonderful." The farmer said, "Maybe." The story kind of goes on like that. You get the idea. And I thought, how likely a conversation with Joseph over the years might have been to be just like that one with that farmer. It would go maybe something like this. Joseph was his father's favorite. "That's really nice, Joseph." "Maybe." Joseph's brothers, however, did not care for this favorite son of their father's, with his crazy dreams and his uppity claims that they would one day bow down before him. So they sold him into slavery. "Well, that's really awful, Joseph." "Maybe." Joseph worked really hard for his master in Egypt, and he was given responsibility over the entire household. "Well, now that is making something out of nothing, Joseph." "Maybe." Joseph's master's wife, she had her eye on Joseph. And when he would not give her what she wanted, she told stories about him. And he ended up being thrown in prison. "Well, now that is horrible, Joseph." "Maybe." Joseph was so reliable when he was in prison that the prison master put him in charge of all of the other prisoners. He even made friends with some of them by interpreting some of the dreams that they were having that they didn't understand. And one of these men, who was his friend, ended up out of prison and working in the Pharaoh's palace. "Now that's pretty awesome, Joseph. Now you have friends in high places." "Maybe." Well, years went by. But finally that friend remembered him when the Pharaoh himself was having dreams that he did not understand, and he called Joseph before him at his friend's request. And Joseph was able, with God's help, to interpret the dreams and also to come up with a pretty good plan for how to deal with that famine that the dreams were foretelling. He was so good with that plan that Pharaoh put him in charge of everything. Well, that, you have to admit, that is pretty awesome, Joseph. Maybe. In the midst of the famine, Joseph finds his own brothers standing in front of him. They too are having trouble. They need help. They need food. Well, now, Joseph, here's your chance. Here's your time. You can pay them back. Look who's in charge now. Maybe. Joseph chooses not to punish his brothers, although he does super yank them around for a while. He really has a lot of fun at their expense because they don't recognize him. But in the end, he ends up bringing his whole family to Egypt, including that dear father of his who thought he was dead all those years. He brings them to Egypt so that they will be safe and sound. That is awesome. That is fantastic, Joseph. Look what you were able to do. Maybe. Joseph's father dies. And his brothers are now pretty sure that this is the time. Now is when he is going to get them back. It makes sense. He wasn't going to do anything while his father was still alive and might see what he did. Here's your chance. But Joseph still was not interested in getting his brothers back for what they had done to him. His life had been full of ups and downs, that was true, and many of those were due to the actions of other people. But he was not interested in getting his brothers back for throwing him in a pit one day and then selling him into slavery. He wasn't interested in getting them back for those years of slavery, for those years of prison. He realized that these were all part of his story. They were a story that led him to a position of great power in Egypt, where he was able to save the lives of many, many people through that plan that he came up with to carefully store and distribute food. He was able to save the lives of his own family. So Joseph faces his brothers on that day after his father had died, and he listens to this somewhat suspect story. I mean, it is really a suspect story that they are weaving to get him to forgive them. They say that his father, like his father's last words were, forgive them, forgive them. And whether that story was actually true or whether it was something that they were making up, it brings Joseph to tears. To tears in front of his brothers. And this is not the first time this has happened, because when they showed up in Egypt and he finally was going to admit to them who he was, he wept that day too. He wept that day too in front of his brothers who had meant him such ill when he was a young, impetuous, and bold young man. He had meant everything that he had said to them that day when they were asking for food. He said, everything is all right. It turned out okay. It's a good thing I ended up here because I am able to save you. But this day with his father gone and the stress of the famine behind them a little bit, he has grown even older and wiser. You know, we tend to do that, hopefully. He has grown older and wiser, and he speaks words that show that he is nowhere near that arrogant young man that they threw in that pit all those years ago. He says, who am I that you ask me to forgive you? That's God's job. What I do know is that you intended me harm, but God took it and he made it good. These are sticky words. These are sticky, tricky words that Joseph says that day. They are the words that we want to believe when we are in the middle of our darkest times. They are the words that we probably do believe when we've made it through those times. Even though you intended to harm me, God intended it for good. Even though you hurt me, you abandoned me, even though you betrayed me, you robbed me of an ability to trust, even though you took my job, even though you cheated on me, even though you intended to harm me, or maybe you didn't even really intend it, but it just happened that way, God intends it for good? Really? Pastor Todd Hobby writes, God can, and God does, take intentional evil and transform it to God's purposes still, like that farmer in that Taoist fable, and like Joseph, we're left with a mystery as to the final meaning of all of it. When we hear Joseph say things like he says that day to his dastardly brothers, or when we read Paul write to the Romans, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. When we read these things, if we are honest with ourselves, we say, do we know that? I mean, do we know it with more than our brains? Do we feel it in our hearts? Do we trust it in our souls? This idea of the providence of God, I'm going to geek out for a moment here. I just went to school last weekend. Been reading some books on doctrine. So Daniel Migliori says that this idea of the providence of God is defined like this. It is the belief that God unceasingly cares for the world, that all things are in God's hands, and that God is leading the world to its appointed goal. To put it in a little easier to understand way, a little catchier way, Rob Bell, who is a pastor, an author, a speaker, he puts it this way: God is with us, God is for us, and God is ahead of us, pulling us forward. But to say that we believe these things about God, it can be difficult. It can be very difficult when we are struggling in life, especially when we find ourselves struggling because of things that other people have done to us. It leaves us asking some of those really hard questions, those hard questions that we can all put in the category of, if God is good, why do bad things happen? That question that is an absolute barrier to people believing. Christians, though, somehow by the grace of God itself, Christians, though, can look at the cross and they see there the three-in-one God. They see a God who sent his only Son to save us. And he was willing to experience that grief of losing his Son to death. We see a God who suffered and died for sins that were not his own. And we then see that God who sent himself into us in that transforming Holy Spirit. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. But again, we believe that God is with us, that God is for us, and that God is pulling us forward. So all of that said, what is it exactly that we are supposed to do when we are in the midst of these ups and downs in life that are just making us nauseous, which are just making us motion sick? Well, this is where we turn to stories in Scripture like the one today about Joseph. Stories about people who have experienced life's tragedies and triumphs. And we look to see what it is that they did to handle their ups and downs. And if we look at Joseph's story, we can see a few things. First of all, Joseph knew that God was with him. Throughout Joseph's story, which takes up a good dozen chapters in the book of Genesis, we see those very words. The Lord was with Joseph. He was with him when he was a slave. He was with him when he was in prison. And he was with him in all of the other places. He was with him as he interpreted dreams of people as he went throughout his life. You know, sometimes our stories don't have the high highs, the big successes that Joseph has in his, but we must know that God is with us too. Another thing that we find in Joseph's story that can help us as we are living our own story is that Joseph always continued to live the life that his belief in his Father in heaven led him to live. Even in those times when it was very tempting to turn his back on that life that God called him to live, Joseph led an upright, hard-working life wherever it was that he was there in Egypt. He was in a foreign land. He was surrounded by people who did not believe in this God that he did, and it would have been so easy to just forget it, to just fit in, to just live the life that everyone around him was living, but he did not. Joseph somehow did not burn a lot of energy thinking about the bad things that had happened to him in the past, and he didn't seem to worry too much about what was going to happen to him. What Joseph was able to do was trust that God was with him, that God had his back no matter what, and that that relationship with God should make a difference in the way he lived his life in the present. Not dragged down by what had happened in the past, not focused on the future, not worried about the future, but living obediently in the present moment. Lifted up by a relationship with his God who he knew was with him, for him, and who was using him as part of God's great rescue story. You see, that is all the Bible is. The whole Bible is God's rescue story. And that is a story that continues in this world today. God's rescue story. It is a long, long story. And it has its ups and it has its downs. Our personal highs may not be as high as Joseph's. We may not find ourselves in a palace one day. I'm not going to rule it out. But our lows might not be as low as Joseph's either. But whatever our ups and our downs and our highs and our lows look like, we can take cues from Joseph and from others in the Bible who put their trust in the Lord and in that story that they were all a part of. And we don't just have to look at the Bible for these stories either. I promise you, there are people sitting here in this room today that can tell you how they have been a part of God's story through the ups and the downs, who have been through a lot, some of it at the hands of other people who intended them harm. But these are people who are not crippled by what has happened to them, and they are able to move forward, trusting that God is with them, that God is for them, and that God is pulling them forward. People who have up and down stories, but who can still manage to say with an absolutely straight face, God works it for good. May we all be these people. And by so being these people, may he bless us too by making us a part of his holy rescue story. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, the story that we are in the midst of, it doesn't seem to go the way we want. It doesn't seem to go the way you would want. You want what's good for us, right? But we trust you. We look at the cross and we trust you. We know that you are with us, that you are going through all of it with us, and that you are moving us forward. And Lord, we want to be a part of this story, and part of the way that we do that is in the way we live our lives, not just when they're going well, not just when we're living in those palaces, but when we're in those pits too. Because that is when other people look at us and they see that hope that we have that makes no sense. They look at us and they see you. They see you. And then they too can be rescued, Lord. So be with us in our ups. And be with us in our downs. And help us to always know that you are with us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.